This is Jordan Sekulow. Will the U.S. Senate finally vote on tax reform today, or is it another Obamacare moment?
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. A lot going on today. You may have seen me on Fox News this morning. The FBI has released those documents to us at the ACLJ and Judicial Watch as well. About 29 pages of documents. We are going through them right now. I spoke about it on Fox News. We're going through the documents. We might have a short release on it this evening. And then after we've really done a thorough review of all the documents, they involve the Clinton-Lynch tarmac meeting, and what follow-up action we may be taking in court because of what's in or not in these documents given to us by the FBI. Remember, the FBI originally said they had no documents. That was proven not to be true, that they were incorrect about that statement. We've got them, and I think Monday then we'll get a full analysis for you of all the documents, what we have found in the documents, and what we are preparing to do next in relation to the documents. Of course, there's news about Mike Flynn. I discussed that some on Fox News. I encourage you, if you want to get any of my reaction to that, check out that interview. They posted it online as well on Fox News. But today we are focusing in on the tax issue because that's what really affects the American people. And we were supposed to have a vote last night, Than Bennett, our director of government affairs, even late into the evening. And then not too late last night, we all found out that we weren't going to have to stay up so late after all, Than, because there was a surprise, surprise, a delay in the vote. Tell people what is going on in the U.S. Senate right now.
Yeah, delay really because of three Senate Republicans, Jordan. Jeff Flake, Ron Johnson, and Bob Corker came to the floor during what is supposed to be a procedural motion. It's called a motion to recommit, which would send the bill back to the committee and essentially kill it. And Jordan, they refused to vote against that motion to recommit unless they got what they wanted. Jeff Flake and Bob Corker really wanted tax increases. They wanted the cost of the bill to come down. Ron Johnson wanted some movement on the small business tax. In the end, they did vote for it because they got promises. They're behind scenes redrafting some of this legislation right now, Jordan, and they are supposed to come back to the bill. Leadership says they believe they have the votes. That is without Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, so that would be 50 votes in the United States Senate. But Jordan, right after they said that, Susan Collins said that she is not quite there yet. So we have still a lot of drama to work out in the United States Senate. Again, much like yesterday, the plan is very soon to start a long series of votes, Votorama. At the end of that process, you would have a final vote. But Jordan, much like yesterday, a lot can change as well. We could have a tax bill by the end of the day, but it is not a guarantee at this point.
I want to take your phone calls on this, folks. 1-800-684-3110. Do you believe the U.S. Senate will actually be able to get it done? It sounds like Mitch McConnell is fairly confident. He's released, I believe, another statement, Than. I just got this sent that he has the votes. Now, what that means exactly on which Senate bill? Does it include that extra increase that was being discussed with Corker and Johnson? And again, I think that's – we want to analyze that when we come back from the break. What were these three? Who were the three last night, Than? It was Corker from Tennessee, who's retiring – Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, and who was the third?
Jeff Flake.
And Jeff Flake from Arizona, who also is out the door of the U.S. Senate. So, again, what were they asking for, Than? I mean, it was basically – it was not something that was good in our opinion.
Yeah. Bob Corker and Jeff Flake don't want the tax reduction to be as large as it is. They will tell you they don't want it to have as big of an impact on the deficit. But, Jordan, basically that means they want the taxes to expire sooner or be in smaller in scope. Ron Johnson went along with him because he wants some changes on the small business side. Yeah. I think that was a critical mistake on his part.
Were they talking about the individual tax? They want the individuals or corporate taxes to be higher?
They have not said what the pay-fors would be. They just want the cost to be lower than it is at this point. So we don't know that answer right now.
And we also don't know if they're going to continue with their plan, right? They may have just scrapped that.
Correct. In fact, I think they probably should. I think they should probably put it on the bill without giving Jeff Flake and Bob Corker what they've asked for and dare him to go vote against the tax cut. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I think I agree with that as well. We need more tax cuts, not less. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. And a big thank you for participating in our matching challenge. Go to aclj.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are joined right now. We are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. But as the Senate continues to get to a vote, we hope, on the tax, their tax reform bill, we've got with us now, joining us, and we're honored to have him, Congressman Mark Walker. He is from North Carolina's 6th Congressional District, but also the chairman of the very powerful Republican Study Committee. And Congressman Walker, it's great to have you on the broadcast today.
Thanks, Jordan. Glad to be with you today.
Let me ask you first, Congressman, kind of your reaction to what's going on in the U.S. Senate. The House got through a tax plan. You were able to get this to the next level. It's the Senate where we've seen this delay. We thought it was going to happen last night. It did not. And now we hope it will happen today, but it still could be a very, very close vote.
Yeah, I think you're spot on as usual in your assessment of where the Senate is. We are doing everything that we can for those of us who have connections, specifically with those who may be in the balance at times, to continue to encourage and really push this thing through. I'm hoping that the Senate feels the same urgency from people from coast to coast, citizens that we represent, to understand that this is crucial in delivering on a promise. It's not hyperbole to say we think this is a big deal, first time in three decades plus. A year that to really fulfill what this administration and what the members of the House and the Senate have promised.
The Congressman, when we look at what is happening in the U.S. Senate, I think that if we get past tonight, whatever changes may be made, we saw there were some senators, Corker and Johnson and Jeff Flake, who wanted less tax cuts. I mean, I guess, but it wasn't real specific on where those increases may come from in the actual Senate bill. But let's say we get past this point, a Senate bill passes. It's not going to be exactly like the House bill. So what happens next for our audience, just to understand, to get these two reconciled so that we get a tax bill to the president's desk?
No, great question. Absolutely. What we're leading into now is Monday evening. We come back in, we have our normal 6:30 fly-in vote. After that, we would have a vote on whether going to go to conference. I think that would overwhelmingly pass to go to conference. At that point, we would take up the differences, what kind of provisions, things that may be, if there's a push to move this from 22 to 22% business rate, that would probably be problematic for some of us. We also have some concerns that the Senate bill will sunset some of these provisions, or not using Washington's speech, some of these tax relief tax cuts would eventually phase out over the upcoming year. So there's three or four or five things. However, I would say that the House understands that our job, unlike what the Senate did with the repeal of the Obamacare, the ACA, our job is to keep this thing moving forward and finding some way to be able to get it across the finish line and get it to the president's desk. We do understand this, the importance of it. At the same time, we don't want to set a precedent where in the past the Senate has just simply jammed us with bad legislation. So we want to make sure that we're doing due diligence and fulfilling the promises that we've made to the American people as well.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your leadership in RSC. And I know one of the positions of your caucus when this was going through the House was to get as much tax cuts and as much broad-based relief as possible. And I wanted to follow up on what you talked about of what might end up in the Senate bill and whether or not the House could accept those provisions, whether it's through a conference committee or just another vote. I suspect that you probably like the addition of the individual mandate repeal, although I suspect you might have some concerns if some of the discussions last night about either expirations, like you just mentioned, or some sort of revenue trigger was included. Am I accurate in that? And is there sort of a red line that your conference couldn't cross if it came out of a Senate bill or a conference committee? What are the sort of the provisions that you can't live without, if you could?
Well, you broke it down nearly perfectly to the place where you're making me put all my cards on the table, which concerned me a little bit because we want to have a little give and take with the Senate. But I won't necessarily go as far as a red line, but things that would give us consternation would be if there is some kind of trigger where we're saying that 4 or 5 years that we've got to automatically tax growth. The thought that Republicans instinctively are thinking that when there's when growth isn't reaching the place that we raise taxes as opposed to reform or cut spending, that's problematic for many of us. We don't have a problem if something doesn't reach a certain standard, that let's put in reforms that we cut back the overall burden on the American people to begin with. That bothers us that's a knee-jerk reaction to automatically think of how do we go back and raise taxes. We don't like the repeal of the death tax, or as far as the inclusion or the exclusion of the repeal of the death tax. That's important to us as well. Those are all problematic areas. I guess altogether there could be somewhat of a little bit of a line there, but we understand that this is a negotiation process, and we understand the larger picture is to fulfill a promise that we do something that puts more money back in the pockets of everyday Americans, specifically targeted to the lower and middle income, which this does, and I don't think there will be anything that prevents us from ultimately delivering on that promise, even though our job is to continue to fight for the best result for the American people that we can come the next week to 10 days.
Congressman Walker, I know a lot of people want to see that death tax gone, and they want to see tax cuts. I've explained to people, kind of want to get your reaction to this, that on this kind of legislation, when you're talking about tax reform like this, it has not gotten done since the time of Ronald Reagan, so more than three decades, that if you could get to about 70-75% of what you'd like to accomplish, unlike in school, when you talk about legislation of this size and scope, that's more like an A+. I mean, when you have a House that may be more conservative and a Senate that's not maybe as conservative and no support coming in from Democrats whatsoever, that if you can get that to the president's desk, 75% of what you want, that's a pretty good piece of legislation right there.
Jordan, you know what? I'm in agreement with you, and I think sometimes when we ran and were privileged to serve and lead the 157 members of the Republican Study Committee, we talked about effective conservatism. Hold your values, hold your line, but we also have the responsibility to be effective. That's why we have the adjective describing the noun, their effective conservatism. We must do everything that we can, yet at the same time, if we are only acting as obstructionists and we get nothing done, then it's worse off than really not having anything altogether. So whether it's 70, 80, 80, 85%, we fight as hard as we can. We get as much as we can to the president's desk. But the moment we get to the place where we tank something or destroy something that's good for moms and dads and single moms and dads, when we do that, then we've gotten in our way and we've let our own self-righteousness get to a place where it's done more damage than good.
Congressman Walker, who chairs the Republican Study Committee, it was a great honor to have you join us live today with reaction on what's going on in the U.S. Senate with tax reform. We're glad the House has gotten tax reform done. and we are encouraged to have you leading the Republican Study Committee. Hopefully the Senate gets it done and we can get this moving and onto the president's desk. We appreciate you being on, Congressman.
Thanks, Jordan. Keep up the good work.
That was Congressman Mark Walker from North Carolina's 6th Congressional District. But as he said, he chairs a Republican Study Committee, which is I think it's the largest group then of Republicans in a coalition in the House, and they are conservative Republicans.
It is, and right, from the right side, that both the House Freedom Caucus and the Republican Study Committee come from that perspective. And I just want to really quickly, Jordan, wanted to key in on that question. What a diplomatic answer and an effective legislating answer. He admitted he doesn't love maybe one of the changes on the expiration of the debt tax. He maybe doesn't like some of the revenue provisions. But like you have been repeating, so much of this, the broad-based relief on the tax side, it's something that you've just got to have. I would just say I hope that Jeff Flake and Bob Corker are listening to this, because if they want to vote at according to what they ran on, the underlying base of this bill, broad tax relief, is something that they have got to support. And if they don't get that last 10% that they want and they're going to vote against it because of that, I think they should probably heed the words of Chairman Walker there. Even though they weren't addressed to them, I might parlay it over to them.
You know, yesterday, guys, we spent a lot of time asking people to support the work of the ACLJ and our matching challenge that ended yesterday at the end of the month. And we told you that yesterday we needed to raise our to stay on track, $220,000. And I just want to say a huge thank you to all of you who donated online at ACLJ.org. At the end of the day, we were able to surpass that goal and raise over $300,000 in one day yesterday. And that's all because of you, whether it was your $5 donation, your $100 donation, or even larger donations. We were able to reach that number because of you, and that means more resources for our attorneys, for our government affairs teams to do the work that we're doing. We're going through those FBI documents right now, folks, that were just released us on the Clinton Lynch tarmac meeting. We see some issues there that may require additional legal action in court because the Department of Justice may have not been totally forthcoming in what documents they released initially that led to the FBI reversing course and saying they actually had documents. Takes a big legal team to go through all of that and make all of the connections and then decide what to do in court. We can do that because of your support for the ACLJ. So a big thank you to everyone who answered our call. I told you I'd let you know if we met that goal and what we ended up reaching. We did that because of you, so we thank you for that. In the next segment of the broadcast, we'll take some phone calls and comments, Logan.
That's right. You can give us a call. I got a few lines open. 1-800-684-3110. That's once again 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments on social media on Facebook. We're broadcasting live now. If you had an issue with that, just go ahead and refresh. You should see the feed is live now. That's at facebook.com/jsekulo. Give us a call also. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Updates for you folks. First, we are focusing in on the tax issue, and we are going to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We were just joined by Congressman Walker, who is the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, and his reaction to what's going on in the Senate. We will be joined later live in the broadcast by Congressman Diane Black, who is also, again, chair of the House Budget Committee, and her reaction, again, because we are hoping that the Senate gets it done finally tonight. And it moves on to that process where the House and Senate go into conference and reconcile their two different tax bills. But I also wanted to let you know that the FBI has provided us the documents from the reopened FOIA. Remember, on the Clinton Lynch tarmac documents, in August, the Department of Justice released 400, after we took them to court, released 400 plus pages to us of information about the Clinton tarmac and Clinton Lynch tarmac meeting. The FBI said they didn't have any documents. But then when we got the DOJ documents, we saw the FBI getting emails in them, people at the FBI. So we knew they had to have some documents. Well, before we even had to file anything, the FBI said, oh, we've reopened your FOIA request. We'll provide you the documents by November 30th. We were provided those documents, and we're going to have a short post up on it at aclj.org. We'll post everything, I think, on Monday. What we're doing right now is looking at kind of not just the top things that you can find real quickly. As I can point out to you, the big takeaway initially is that the FBI wanted to keep this quiet. They weren't so concerned that a subject of their criminal investigation, husband, Bill Clinton, the former president, was meeting with the Attorney General of the United States, Loretta Lynch. They were concerned that people would find out about how it occurred and that it happened. So they weren't worried about the actual context of the meeting or that the meeting took place, but that people would find out about the meeting. That's what they were concerned about. There's also something it looks like the FBI let us know about in these documents that the Department of Justice did not provide. So it's a DOJ document in here that's referenced that DOJ did not provide to us in the release in August. So there may be court action. That's why we're going to take our time with these documents and have more information for you on Monday. So look for a shorter post on aclj.org later today, and then a larger post on a Monday breaking it all down for you. So a lot of work going on. Even on the Flynn matter, discussed that briefly on Fox News. There's a statement now out from the White House special counsel, Ty Cobb. So that matter, of course, is being addressed as well. And the tax issue, which I think is most important because it affects all of us, that is scheduled to be voted on again in the U.S. Senate. Before we go to the phones, I want to go to 1-800-684-3110. Than, quickly, timing-wise, we told people it'd be very late last night. And then we found out earlier in the evening it wasn't going to happen. Now, if it does occur, is it going to occur late tonight?
Here's what to look for, Jordan. We've been talking about all these different areas that are being negotiated. Whatever conclusion they come to, they will have to be offered in the form of an amendment, a manager's amendment, probably offered by Mitch McConnell. When that is announced, when we see the text of that amendment, Jordan, that means that a vote is coming and is fairly imminent. Now, you still have to go through what's called Votorama. That would likely be several hours of Democrat amendments. But until we see the text of that manager's amendment, a vote is not coming anytime soon. Once we do see it, it will still be several hours. But let's say, hypothetically, Jordan, we get that mid-afternoon, then yes, I think you would see a vote very late tonight. But that's the flashpoint to look for.
All right, folks, so we're going to take calls now, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right to the phone.
Yeah, let's take a call. Let's go to John in Louisville, Kentucky. You're on the air, John.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call. You know, I've heard a lot with this tax reform, the tax bill, and the Democrats, or a lot of them, not necessarily them, but there's other people, Republicans as well, on the Hill, that are saying, how are we going to pay for this? I never got the first phone call when Obamacare was passed, asking me how I was going to pay for it, because they knew that my rates were going to skyrocket. So I think they should do the same thing to pay for this as I had to do to pay for health care, and that's do something about their spending.
Yeah, cut other costs and cut other spending. And I want to go to Harry Hutchinson, because John brings up a good point. You know, when it came to Obamacare, they didn't care how much it was going to, the increases. They were told how much the premiums would rise for people, how much more this was going to cost the American people. Not only that, but they were going to penalize them if they didn't get everything they wanted them to get, the federal government mandating everything that you must purchase in your health care. On the tax issue, that's the same. We hear the reverse argument from the left, which is this will cost the federal government too much. Not the American taxpayer. You'll get a tax cut, but the federal government too much. And the truth is, one, that's not exactly true, because if we're producing more and making more, then people are paying more taxes. But second, Harry, there are places where the federal government can cut.
Absolutely. So one of the huge untold stories is the amount of waste and corruption within the federal budget. And so if the Democrats are serious about reducing the deficit, they ought to propose spending cuts. They are unwilling to do so, in part because the Democrats have a governing philosophy. Their governing philosophy is more government is always better, and more control over individuals' lives is always better. But I would also say that Republicans have a problem because they seem to focus so much on attacking Democrats, but yet they don't spend enough time creating a coherent governing philosophy. So when they are in power, they have difficulty putting together a governing coalition. That's a huge problem. We see it being played out today in terms of tax reform.
Yeah, we're taking your phone calls about this, 1-800-684-3110. The two senators causing the most trouble, I don't think it's a big surprise, because both of them are retiring and both have had issues with President Trump. Though that should not impact the tax vote, because yes, President Trump will be the one who signs it, but it will be part of their legacy to cut taxes. It affects the American people. It's not just about helping the Republican Party out, because then they've done something. It's the bigger issue of actually helping the American economy, both at the individual level by cutting individual taxes, corporate taxes, small business taxes. I mean, it affects every single one of us at all levels of our life. And Than, yet we know that these two problem actors, Bob Corker and Jeff Flake, both who are on their way out of the U.S. Senate and obviously have no issue, because I guess they think that they're not their constituents don't matter anymore. That's kind of how I feel, because let me tell you, the people of Tennessee, and I'm sure Arizona, want tax cuts, and they're not so concerned about how much revenue will be lost for the federal government to spend on wasteful programs.
I'm not even sure there's another way to look at it, Jordan. I mean, because if you look just on the bold facts of what they were asking for last night on the Senate floor, they wanted either these tax cuts to expire sooner or to reduce the amount of the tax cuts by almost $400 billion. So at the end of the day, Jordan, they were looking for more taxes. And I would go back to what to Harry's point. There's two ways to close a deficit, and I would argue that raising taxes doesn't do it in the first place. But if there is a deficit, you should cut spending. We all know it's bloated, but these two senators went to the floor last night. They said, we don't like the score on this, and the way we want to change the score is to raise their taxes. That's bad policy, Jordan.
All right. Logan, when we come back, we'll take more phone calls,
that's right,
more comments. We've got a second half hour coming up. Another congressman will be joining us. A lot to talk about with the tax issue as the Senate plans to vote today.
That's right. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. If you lose us on your local station, some carry just the first half hour. You get the second half hour or switch it up online. Facebook.com/JSeculo. Twitter, Periscope @JSeculo, @JordanSeculo, and on ACLJ.org. But again, phone lines are open and a whole half hour is left. JSecu Live, so make sure you keep tuned in. We'll be right back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So the Senate did not vote on tax reform yesterday, but they are expected to vote on it today. And I'm not leading you on. We've got Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of the U.S. Senate has said we have the votes. Now, that doesn't mean they can just go and immediately vote. There is a process here. Than explain that to people who are, as we're just coming back in the second half hour, how this would work out today now that things got scuttled last night. We didn't have to stay up too late because they announced, you know, they'd start again at 11 a.m. Today.
Right, Jordan. At some point here, there will be a process called Votorama. That's where any member of the Senate on either side of the aisle can come down and offer an amendment. They can do that as long as they want. And at some point during that process, Jordan, one of those amendments will be a manager's amendment that will incorporate all of the different negotiations that we've been talking about. So they'll take all of the agreements that have been made, put them into amendment, and then that amendment will need to be voted on. The vote on that amendment, Jordan, will actually be the most significant vote in this process. That entire process would take several hours, most likely. It will extend until no other senator wants to offer an amendment. And at the end of that process, you would have a final vote. So I can't tell you exactly when that would be, but we are still talking about a several-hour process once that gets forward. And it's really the manager's amendment that everybody needs to look for.
So do we expect this late night again, Than, or is it potentially that it's not?
I think it will be late. The only way it would not be a late night is if Senate Democrats essentially say, we want to go home for the weekend. We're not going to offer a pile of amendments. But typically what happens, Jordan, is they will offer amendments that they want to then use in the campaign cycle that are maybe difficult ones to take. So it's difficult for me to see them at least not pushing it fairly late into the evening.
All right, let's take our call. Let's go to Kathy in Portland, Oregon, on line one. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. Kathy, you are on the air.
Hi,
Kathy.
Hi. I haven't heard or read any comments about what either the House or Senate tax reform bills are doing with charitable deductions, which has a big impact for some of us.
Sure. I mean, it has a big impact for the ACLJ. Harry, charitable deductions are one of the few deductions that will remain.
Absolutely.
So I think there's charitable deductions. Both the House and the Senate plans, they both have that.
Absolutely, along with a mortgage deduction, although that may be capped at $500,000 to $700,000.
So you will, Kathy, still have the charitable deduction. So if you have a nonprofit organization, that might be why it's important to you, or a church situation like that, or a group like the ACLJ, those deductions will still be allowed. There is an increase. I mean, things will work differently, Harry, because the standard deduction is going to double both for individuals and for married couples. So because of that, there may be less people who would be itemizing their individual deductions. That being said, there are plenty of people out there who donate a lot and who will be past that amount of $24,000.
I think that's correct. So under both the House and the Senate proposal, more likely than not, the number of individuals who will itemize if tax reform passes, will drop from around 30% down to 10%, but both bills retain the charitable deduction along with the home mortgage deduction.
It's very important. And so if you've got questions like that about what's in this, what's not in this, there are some things that are in both pieces of legislation, in the House and the Senate version. We want to take your calls about that. We can answer those questions for you at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. You want to take a comment that's coming through Facebook or go back to the phones?
There are a lot of comments coming in specifically about the personal exemption. We've talked about that, or even any sort of tax penalties that will be under the new legislation. So do we have any?
Penalties under this new legislation.
I assume they mean the exemptions in those.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you get the $24,000 deduction instead of $12,000 deduction for married couples. Instead of individuals, $6,000, the standard deduction goes up to $12,000. So that, again, there's not penalties gone. I think.
Right.
The Senate bill.
Under the Senate bill, we'll see if the House plan, and that's been zeroed out by President Trump as well, but it would take that away completely. That'd be something that the House has to add in during the conference period. We'll talk about it all. We come back on Jay Sekulow Live. Appreciate all of you for engaging our matching challenge. We met that goal of $220,000 and exceeded it. Raised over $300,000 just yesterday. Thank you for your support.
This is a critical time for our nation, and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So a bit of breaking news on the tax reform vote. Last night, there was a group of three congressmen, Jeff Flake from Arizona, Bob Corker from Tennessee, and Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, who really prevented, because that would be, again, if you lose three, it doesn't matter if the vice president votes for it, you don't get to 51. So because of that, the vote did not occur last night. Now we're hearing that Jeff Flake from Arizona is a yes. That's what's being reported. And it kind of came simultaneously when Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader of the U.S. Senate, said that he had the votes to pass tax reform today. We got a CNN report saying that Jeff Flake is also endorsing this. That would be a big news. We'll talk about that later on in the broadcast, because we're joined right now by a very special guest, Congressman Diane Black, from Tennessee's 6th Congressional District. She chairs the House Budget Committee and is also on the House Ways and Means Committee. Congressman Black, thank you so much for joining us live today.
You're welcome, Jordan. Thank you for having me. It's good to be back.
I want to get your reaction to what's going on first in the U.S. Senate on tax reform. I know the House is ready and willing to get to work to get this done and on the president's desk.
Absolutely. I'm delighted to hear that they are moving forward and that they have the votes. And so I'm hoping that we'll hear the final vote this afternoon, and we can then come back on our House is adjourned for the weekend, but come back on Monday and have a vote on going to conference.
Congressman Black, because you are on you chair the Budget Committee and you're on the Ways and Means Committee, we hear this pushback a lot, especially on the budget side of things, that, oh, this is going to be horrible for the federal budget. And we hear this from the left. We've even heard it, though, from some Republicans. I wouldn't say conservatives, but Republicans in the U.S. Senate. One, I mean, we all kind of think that we can cut back government spending. But two, you chair the House Budget Committee. How should people respond when they hear that from folks that the government can't afford to do these tax cuts?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, you're so right. And it is a little bit complicated because it's a scoring mechanism that we are unable to use the dynamic effect of when you do have a tax cut where the economy grows. And so we have to use a static form of scoring. And that's the reason why it is the way it is, where it's a $1.5 trillion deficit. It's just that if you cut taxes by $1.5 trillion and you get the economy moving, if the economy moves at more than what it has been in the last 8 to 10 years of 2% or less, you're stagnant. But if you see the economy start to pick up to 3%, 4%, 5%, And look, we just have to point back to time in history where there were these cuts and to see what happened under a Democrat president of President Clinton. We saw that happen. We also saw it under Kennedy, and we saw it under a Republican president of Reagan. And so we can go back and point to those times to show that this is actuality, even without having the scoring mechanism. I believe we've got to change our scoring mechanism here in Congress so that we can get a better picture when we do have these kinds of measures that we do.
Than?
Chairman Black, Than Bennett here. I certainly agree with you on the scoring question. Let me do a follow-up about what you expect next. I know that Monday night the House is going to take a vote, or at least is scheduled to take a vote, on a motion to go to conference. If you get inside that conference committee and there is any difficulty coming up with a package that you are confident would clear the Senate, is there any chance that the House would simply take up the Senate bill, or is that just a bridge that you will cross once you come to it? I guess my question is conference committee the only way that this bill can land on the president's desk, or are there other options available to you?
Well, the other option would be for us just to take up the Senate bill, which we are not going to do. I can tell you very clearly that our leaders are not at all having the appetite for doing that. We've worked far too hard, and Chairman Brady, who is the chairman of our Ways and Means Committee, has just been so good about making sure that we looked at every single piece of our budget plan, our tax plan, and we're not ready to just give that up and to say we're going to take the Senate plan. As a matter of fact, I will give credit to our House. I know I'm a member of the House, but credit to our House that we've been working on this for 7 years, and the Senate has not been doing the kind of heavy lifting that we have. And so we're not inclined at all to take up what the Senate has. We believe that we can take the best of both of the bills and put them together, but to just take the Senate bill, no, that is not going to happen.
Congressman Black, that brings me to an important point. I think that, one, making that very clear is important for our audience, because there's been talk about that. Could the House just take the Senate bill if the conference doesn't work out? I know you never want to say 100% never, but it sounds like it's a pretty firm no from you, and that's important because you chair the House Budget Committee. You're on the Ways and Means Committee. Final question. I know you've got to do another interview, and we appreciate you giving us this time live to be on the air with us as this is all breaking right now. The idea, again, this would be historic. We haven't seen tax reform like this in 3 decades. There will be plenty of people. I mean, each one of us, I'm sure you can too, say, I wish this was in there and this wasn't in there. But I think that, you know, if we can get to 75% on legislation that's this big, you know, this is not a tiny piece of legislation where you're looking for 95 or 100%. This is huge legislation that encompasses so many different things, individual cuts, business cuts at the small business level, at the corporate level, that if you can get 70 or 75% of what you want, that's an A+, unlike in school, and that the American people and conservatives who are listening to this broadcast should get behind it.
Well said. I mean, what we're going to be, what the nation is going to have as a result of what we're doing, and as you have already indicated, you can't get everything that you want in here. We have to be very careful that when we turn one dial, because somebody says, oh, that's awful, if I lose that, the whole world's going to fall apart. If we turn that dial, they have to remember there's something over on the other side that has to be turned, with something this large and this complex. But I will tell you that I feel very, very confident that what we're going to be giving to the American people is going to be what we promised. And that is something that's fair, flatter, and simpler, and something that's going to jolt the economy. And for Tennesseans, this means, and this is a nonpartisan estimate on this, one of the think tanks that has done this, it estimated over 18,000 new jobs will be created and nearly $2,000 increase in after-tax income. Look, this is a jolt to the economy, and especially my Tennesseans, I say to them, look forward to this, because this is going to be great for families and especially those in the middle income.
Absolutely. And that's in a state as well that does not have a state income tax. So this federal tax, these cuts really do, I mean, they really impact families. And Congressman Black, we so appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. You chair House Budget Committee. You're on the Ways and Means Committee. Great insight. We appreciate you coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
That is Congressman Diane Black, a good friend of ours from Tennessee's 6th Congressional District. Also, though, chairs that House Budget Committee, is on the Ways and Means Committee. And you heard her, Than. They don't want to vote on the Senate. They don't want to take up the Senate bill. Now, we've also got the breaking news that Jeff Flake has tweeted out that he will support the tax reform bill after securing language to I'm reading from his tweet, language to eliminate an $85 billion budget gimmick, as well as a commitment from the administration and Senate leadership to advance growth-oriented legislative solution to enact fair and permanent protections for DACA. Now, DACA is not part of this. All that is that they will look, to advance legislation. So that's kind of just wording about what may happen in the future, and I think that's fine. What is he referencing, Than, about that? Do you know this $85 billion budget gimmick?
Yeah, I don't know specifically, Jordan, but he does not mention revenue or expirations or triggers. So I think it's probably just a scoring of some specific program.
Yeah.
We'll know when we see the language. But Jordan, I just say, I mean, if there is no tax increase or expiration trigger in this and he is announcing his support, that is a win-win-win. And this thing is very close to the finish line.
Yeah, I mean, again, folks, you've got those who were causing trouble last night are sending out tweets saying that they're ready to vote yes on tax reform. So it appears that the votes are coming together. I think, look, we take one phone call now. We'll take lots of phone calls we have in our final
segment. Yeah, make sure you give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. But let's quickly go to Carol, who's calling in New York on line one.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I just have a question that, covers all a lot of aspects, but I'll start out by just saying, what exactly is the range for middle-class families? Like, where does it begin and where does it end?
Okay, so, I mean, Harry, we first of all, again, the House and the Senate legislation is different, but can we kind of break it down for people? Can we give them an idea?
I think we can. I think it's also important to recognize that the middle class will, in fact, differ depending on the state that one lives in, because the cost of living is not uniform throughout the United States. Essentially, however, I think most analysts would suggest that the middle class commences at around $50,000 a year in income for a family of four, up to $100,000 to $120,000. Individuals who are in those brackets will receive, on average, a reduction in their taxes, and that is true whether they live in blue states or red states.
All right, folks. A lot to talk about. Our final segment of the broadcast coming up. We take all of your phone calls. We got some lines open. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We might see, I'm hoping, praying, the Senate getting tax reform through later today, which would mean the House and the Senate coming together, reconciling the legislation, and getting it to the president's desk. I truly believe that if we get through this Senate hurdle, which has been difficult, but if we get over this hurdle, the tax reform will get to the president's desk. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
It really looks, folks, like the votes are lining up to pass tax reform in the U.S. Senate. We now have two of the senators out of the three last night who scuttled the reason why the Senate did not vote last night. Two of the three senators who scuttled that vote are Republicans, both Jeff Flake and Ron Johnson Than. They have now both said that they will vote yes on tax reform today. So we haven't heard from Bob Corker yet, but his vote really love to have it, but don't need it.
Yeah, that's right. You can lose two in the United States Senate, so you could lose Bob Corker's vote, and honestly, you could lose Susan Collins as well, even though I really think she's going to be a yes because of the inclusion of that property tax deduction. But just in theory, Jordan, you could lose both Corker and Collins, and if everybody who has said they will vote yes votes yes, you would need to have the vice president in the chamber, but ultimately the bill would pass the Senate.
All right, let's go right to the phones, Logan. We'll just go by people who've been holding
the longest. All right, let's do it. You can give us a call. There are a couple lines open. Dan's in Vegas on line three. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, guys. Longtime listener and supporter. I think you do a great job over there. Just a quick question, and then I'll hang up. What do the proposals say about flexible spending accounts and HSAs? Will they remain intact, or is there going to be some sort of dramatic change to those plans?
Yeah, I mean, is there anything about the HSAs in either the House or Senate plan?
In general, neither bill changes the treatment of HSAs. There may be a slight adjustment with respect to dependents, with respect to the flexible spending accounts, but in general, there's no real change associated with FSAs.
Okay, so not much change on either of those matters.
Right. There's separate legislation pending, which may have some impact going forward, but most of that legislation has no impact on the debate over tax reform.
Yes, that would be in other legislation. So I think that answers the caller's question pretty clearly. It's not really going to impact on this tax reform legislation, which is huge and encompasses a lot. But not that. Back to the phones we go, Logan.
All right, Aaron in South Dakota on line five. You are on the air, and give us a call again, 1-800-684-3110.
Hi.
Hey, Aaron.
I am a small business owner. We have about 7 employees, and in the last couple of days, I've read a few articles that say that the new tax plan won't necessarily benefit small businesses like mine, and that it may, in fact, take away some of the write-offs and deductions. I'm wondering if those are true. What will really change? Will it affect my small business?
I mean, this is, again, when you cut taxes for small businesses and you will pay less taxes, the idea, again, this deduction, this is what the left's tactic is you might not have this deduction or that deduction, but you're not going to be paying the same amount of taxes. You're going to be paying less taxes. So, I mean, Harry, this is the issue, is that they're trying to scare people like Absolutely. Aaron away. And Aaron, I'm not saying you are being scared away. You just want to know the truth.
I think Senator Johnson and Senator Daines have done a fabulous job in trying to protect smaller businesses. They have got the relief that they have sought. And I think Aaron will be pleasantly surprised, and she will find that she will pay less taxes overall. In general, most deductions will indeed remain.
It's now, Than, the deduction for small businesses in the Senate plan will be just right on the almost the same amount as the corporate tax cut, right?
Pretty similar. It'll be calculated a different way. The House version sets that pass-through tax at a maximum rate of 25%. The Senate version treats it a little bit differently. It says you can deduct a certain portion of that income that passes through from your income taxes. But to Harry's point, the original version of the Senate bill said you can deduct 17.4%. And Mr. Johnson and Mr. Daines got that increased all the way up to 23%. So short answer to your question, yes, treated very close in at the end of the day to corporate tax levels.
Yes, yeah, so we've got in the House version, it's a tax cut, and then the Senate version, it'd be a deduction. Both, again, are better off than where we are today for small businesses, and I think whichever option ends up being, again, the what's in the final legislation, it will be good for small businesses, and that will go on, again, if the Senate does what they say they are going to do and that the votes are all there and remain there throughout the day. You know, this is when the maneuvering happens, and those who are opposed to tax reform are going to be putting a lot of pressure on a few Republican U.S. senators to try and stop this again. But it appears that as of right now, as of this moment, the votes are there. We have not been able to confirm anything from Senator Corker's office. We've contacted a few of his, but we have seen now two of the three senators who were causing issues last night, and that was why the vote wasn't taken. Two of the three, which would mean that there is no longer an issue on the votes if everyone else is okay with it on the Republican side, have come out and said they will support the tax reform legislation, will vote yes. That's Jeff Flake and Senator Johnson as well. Back to the phones we go.
All right, let's go to Tom in Ohio on line one. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much for taking my call. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm an employee of a very small company. I drive about 40,000 miles per year, and obviously that write-off comes at 58 cents a mile to about $23,000 a year. And I'm just wondering if I'm going to be able to maintain that that deduction.
Harry?
Well, I'm not necessarily sure in terms of your specific case, but my general understanding is most deductions of that nature will remain. But let's be clear, I have not seen the Senate bill yet,
yeah.
So I can't really confirm that to you. In addition, let me point out that both the Senate and the House bill, if they pass, will have to be reconciled.
Yeah,
so I think some of those issues are still to be determined.
Yeah, still to be determined is a way. You've got some of the specific deductions, some the House specifically has keeps and removes others, same in the Senate, but the different ones. I would remind you that, you know, you're talking about $23,000. You will be able to just deduct $24,000 if you're married right off the top. So, again, that's very important as well.
All right, take last call today. Joseph in Athens, Georgia. Big day tomorrow for the Georgia Bulldogs. So, Joseph, you're on the air.
I hear you, man. Can't wait. Anyway, I was wondering, thanks, guys, by the way, for all you do. I was wondering how the bills actually account for inflation, because, like, a $24,000 credit today is not going to be so attractive in the near future here. So I was just wondering how they account for inflation.
Well, I mean, it's double the standard deduction that you've been able to use. So, and that's been in place for 30 years. So, Harry, I mean, the truth is you account for inflation, and Than, you may want to comment on this as well. We only got about a minute and a half, by passing new legislation when we get to that point.
Absolutely. So going forward, the tax bill may need to be adjusted, but I think it's a clear win for most taxpayers to see their standard deduction double. This is the first real tax reform in something like 31 years. So that is a giant step forward if it passes.
All right. Than, again, tell people what to expect to see this afternoon. What are the key moments to look for the Senate to actually get this through?
Everything will key off of when you see text of a manager's amendment, which will incorporate some of these last-minute changes. When that happens, Jordan, or maybe even slightly before, there will be a long Votorama process where you'll see lots of amendment votes. At the end of that process, you will see a vote on the final package. It could be very late tonight, but if it clears the Senate, Jordan, then you heard Chairman Black say, then it's time for the House and the Senate to reconcile their two bills.
Folks, let me say again, a big thank you to all of you who were part of our matching challenge, who donated throughout this month, and especially those who donated yesterday. We had a goal of raising in one day $220,000. We exceeded that by over $300,000 because of you. So a big thank you to our ACLJ donors. We appreciate that. We will talk to you next time.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.